Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Money Control Macro Minutes. Today we have with us Dr. D.K. Joshi, who's the chief economist of CRISIL. Just yesterday, that is on the 9th of March, CRISIL came out with its forecast report, economic report for India for the year 2021-22. Dr. Joshi, as you said in the report, you expect a GDP growth of 11% for the coming fiscal year, which is in line with what the government has expected, what the government has forecast in its economic survey. Now, sir, beyond the headline number of 11% growth next year, what are the basic assumptions you're making in terms of recovery across sectors, in terms of which sectors probably might take longer to recover, and also in terms of whether, you know, we can see a recovery not just in the big corporates again, but also in the MSME sector? What are the underlying assumptions for that forecast?
Sure. Thank you, Arup, first of all, for having me. I think this 11% GDP growth forecast is, first of all, premised on the sharpest ever contraction, which is 8% in the previous fiscal. So this recovery is, in a way, optical in nature. So let me explain that. Even with 11% growth, we will reach the pre-pandemic level as far as the GDP is concerned only by the second quarter of fiscal 21-22. The GDP level in 21-22 will only be about 2% higher than in 2019-20. And it is still 10% lower than where it should have been without the pandemic. So I think so that is putting in place this this growth number. So I think the level of GDP is still quite low. I mean, that's the point I wanted to make. Then I think the assumptions for this this growth are, one, I think, is that the global economy is doing well. I think the forecasts are getting upgraded for major advanced countries, and that will have a spillover effect on us in terms of exports. So that is one. For the domestic economy, I think if you look at the vaccination program, we got a head start on that. I mean, before the second wave could strike, we started it. So this, together with herd immunity, will make growth more broad-based, so to say, towards the second half. By broad-based, I means that the services sector will slowly start participating in the growth process. Those services which are contact-based. I think because the confidence will come from the vaccine rollout. Well, I think the second wave is always a risk, but I think that's the assumption we have made. Third assumption is that we will have a normal monsoon this year, which is also a risk factor because you typically don't get three monsoons normal continuously. I mean, we've already got two normal monsoons, so keep your fingers crossed on that front. And then I think the fourth assumption is that the government is pushing up the capex, and I think it will lead the infrastructure capex recovery, and the private sector will also pitch in with the with participation in the PLI program. So I think these are the broad assumptions.
Just coming back to one particular point of the first question which I asked, in the current fiscal year, the recovery in the second half has largely, to a lot of extent, been driven by the large corporate results and large corporate strong performance. So in the coming year, are we going to see MSME industries, which are also to subdued to some level now, are we going to see MSME also sort of showing a recovery in the coming fiscal, the medium and small enterprises sector?
Yeah, I think, see, the issue is that during the pandemic and even during the recovery, we see smaller firms, which includes the MSMEs, lose out because they have low bargaining power and they face much stronger liquidity crunch. And I think our research also shows that. I think that the smaller enterprise, smaller the enterprise, the harder it has been hit. And this, I think, will continue into the recovery phase also. So this dichotomy will not be erased by just higher growth. Although I think it will create some opportunities for MSMEs, which are linked to the sectors that are growing. But so even for exports, we found that the MSMEs, which are typically very active in labor-intensive sectors like leather, garments, textiles, and gems and jewelry, etc. I think these are the ones which have suffered the most as far as exports are concerned. So I think it's a double whammy for them.
All right. Now, sir, one of the things that we are anticipating soon is that government will set new inflation targets under the monetary policy for the Reserve Bank of India and the Monetary Policy Committee. Now, while obviously that is up to the government what target it sets for the MPC, but however, I want to ask you, since many policymakers have spoken about the, you know, sort of, you know, there needs to be cohesion between monetary policy and fiscal policy. But if you can tell me, if you can just explain to our listeners, what sort of trade-offs or what sort of cohesion do monetary and fiscal policy need to be in, or what sort of trade-offs they need to make to ensure growth in the coming fiscal?
Well, I think, as you rightly said, I think there's no free lunch. I mean, so in 2021, I think the monetary and fiscal policies were extremely well coordinated. I think the fiscal policy actually became active only during the second half. Now, as we enter into the next fiscal, I think before we could do that, I think the discord between monetary and fiscal policy is somewhat showing up. The trade-offs are showing up. And I think the reason for that is, one, I think government has a big borrowing program. So to manage that, I think RBI has to stay accommodative and make extra efforts, which it is doing. These are some of the things which it can control in a way. But I think there is a global side also to it. I mean, where the US yields have been rising. Okay. And also, I think the oil prices have been rising. These make these put additional pressure on the bond yields. I mean, we found that these are very strongly correlated with the Indian bond yields as well. So okay. I think in a way, the external pressure is making the coordination even more difficult. But okay. in general, I think the RBI also has to worry about inflation. I think it can't maintain extended liquidity for a very long time if the economy recovers faster than expected. So in a way, I think keeping the bond yields in check, what was intended, I think is going to be, you'll have to swim against the tide to do that. I mean, it's a, so that's the kind of discord that is emerging. These issues were not prominent last in yeah. fiscal 2021.
Yeah. Do you expect a repeat of the taper tantrum that we saw in 2013, or is India better placed in terms of forex reserves to be able to deal with a situation like that?
Well, yeah, we have enough reserves. I mean, we don't have too much of short-term external debt to service. So I think we have cushions available. But I would say that the central banks themselves will be very, very careful. Okay. I think before they start winding up, I think they know from the what the taper tantrum did, what the premature withdrawal of support in Europe, I think, meant for the European economy. It actually created a double dip recession. So they'll be extremely cautious and extremely careful, I mean, in their in communication. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any. So right now, what we are seeing is, in a way, there is some inflation tantrum. I mean, mm-hmm. in a way that the markets are expecting higher inflation than mm-hmm. what the central bank would have liked it to be. So that is, I think, that's leading to higher bond yields, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say that the central bank communication will be very guarded, I think, in this phase of recovery, because this is within a decade, you've got a major second shock and much, much bigger than the previous one. And so normalizing the policy is going to be a very tough challenge for all central banks. But I think they will tread the line very cautiously. So far, I think they are talking about normalization, okay. not before 23. I mean, so I think they will continue with that stance.
All right. Sir, I have one last question. This is a little away from your report yesterday. You have been seeing this government, you have been tracking this government and, you know, its economic policy, including its divestment policy for a many number of years. I remember, in fact, calling you so many times to get your comments on the government's divestment program. In the previous years, we have seen the years that they have actually managed to meet their divestment targets is by merging one PSU to another. I mean, that has been the biggest chunk of how they have met their divestment targets. And a lot of years, it has, you know, they have missed. Given the background, given what we've seen with this government's, irrespective of the political affiliation of the party in power, what we have seen in the government's past divestment record, do you think this year the ambition that they have in terms of privatization and asset monetization, how hopeful are you of this?
Well, I think it's always challenging to divest and privatize. I think the low-hanging fruits have already gone away. But I do feel that the chances are better this year for two reasons. I think one, I think government needs to raise resources because it has an ambitious investment program. And it still needs to support the economy. Apart from that, I think if you look at the divestment schedule. I mean, the many of the projects which are to be divested, so to say, the preparation has already been made, I think. So it should not be that difficult to divest, I think, if they do it in a timely manner, because it requires preparation. And I think we've been preparing for some of these divestments for some time. So it's not going to be an easy affair, but I am definitely more hopeful than I was last year. And as far as the privatization is concerned, let's see how the bank privatization plays out. That will also be a precursor to what lies ahead on this front, which I think privatization is seen as something that will trigger efficiency in the Indian system. So let's see how it plays out. I think one thing I wanted to also add to that is, I think this asset monetization, which also comes along, I think that I'm more hopeful that government will be able to monetize its assets because some of the reforms like digitalization, etc., are beginning to pay off, and they are increasing the value of assets, particularly for roads. If you see the toll collection, for instance, after the FASTag, it has sharply gone up. I mean, which meant that there was some leakage which has been plugged. So the ability of the project to generate higher revenues is visible now. So that will make the project more attractive to the private sector and easier to sell. So I think this model can work. I mean, if we do it in a gradual and also in a very calibrated manner, I would say.
All right. Dr. Joshi, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for speaking with us on Money Control Macro.
Thank you very much, Arup, for having me.